Hallelujah. Well, it is good to be home. We've been away for a couple weeks. My wife is still in the States. We were at Winter Bible Seminar at Rhema with a team of 18 of us. It was an international homecoming, and there were 800 people from overseas that were there at the meeting, along with thousands and thousands. And Donji, are you here? Donji Mina? We sang a wonderful, What a Beautiful Name It Is, with like 10 different languages. And Ndonje sang in Bemba to a crowd of 6,000. But there was a little problem when they put it up on the screen, because they said Portuguese and they put the different languages. When they put it up on the screen, they said Bembi language. So we've now discovered the 73rd lost tribe of Zambia. I guess it was the tribe that migrated west to Nambia. Okay. But we had an awesome, awesome time. We stayed the next week, and there was a number of us that stayed on the team, and Vivian and Kasonde, different ones, to plan with different campuses all over Africa for Rhema, different the expansion that's happening. In fact, Pastor Sombo Kondwani is home alone. Yeah, so bring him food. Yeah. So they're actually in Accra teaching for a couple weeks there, which is wonderful, awesome. So we had a great time, and then Pastor Haley and I stayed a little bit longer to see our parents, and I was with my mom for a few days and helping her out, and then Pastor Haley's dad had a minor surgery and said, please, can you stay? And she did. So I talked to her this week. He had come out of the hospital, but was in a lot of pain, she said, so I just took my chair and went into their room and just slept in the chair. And I said, wow, you sound very Zambian, sleeping in the chair. Yeah. Yep. I told somebody that this week. They said, that's not Zambian, that's just normal. So, normal, Zambian, both are good. So, but just I want to encourage you. You heard so many great things are happening at Miracle Life, and just get plugged in, because they're all designed not to keep you busy, but to equip your life for Jesus. In 3 weeks, we're going to have that Equip conference, so please make sure that you're here with us on, well, no, 2 weekends from now. It is going to be fantastic. Pastor Tony Cook, really our pastor, one of our pastors, and Reverend Tokes and his wife Akuna from Nigeria, so please make sure you're there. Amen? All right. Why don't we pray before we get into the Word this morning? Father, we do love you. Thank you for your precious written word, that we have it in a book, and that you speak to us. Holy Spirit, we open up our hearts and our minds to you. And so as we receive the ingrafted word that is able to save our souls, we thank you that you will make us more like Jesus, that we'll obey you more fully, and that we'll do your will on the earth in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, turn with me to Exodus 34. That's not a joke, actually. It's not an extension of this wonderful series we've done. But we want to draw a couple of dotted lines in the weeks and the months to come of this 8-week series that we did of how God has described himself, his self-revelation. Really want to encourage you that if you were not with us for all of those sessions, please get the series from the bookshop or download it on the internet. It's free. And put it on an MP3 player while you're in traffic, and just let these truths just get into your heart and your soul. And it'll really, really bless you. It'll certainly be better than you watching an illegal version of Captain Marvel on your laptop. I perceive you are a prophet. Yeah. Okay. All right, Exodus 34, the Lord passed in front of Moses and proclaimed, the Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness, maintaining love to thousands and forgiving wickedness, rebellion, and sin. Yet, he does not leave the guilty unpunished. He punishes the children and their children for the sin of the parents to the third and fourth generation. So God said about himself, and I believe Pastor Benjamin did this one, God said about himself, I abound in faithfulness. I abound in faithfulness. To whom? To us. To the people of God. God is faithful, and so we can see him as a faithful God. Now, wonderful thing about God is the fact that he doesn't change. And so if he was, he is, and he shall be. And so there's parts of the Bible that are prophetic in nature. Some of the Old Testament was about the time of Jesus. For a son shall be born, his name shall be called, Wonderful Counselor. And so those prophecies were fulfilled. Now we have other prophecies in the Bible that have yet to be fulfilled. They're about the end times or the day of the Lord, a new heaven and a new earth. And so there are events that we can rest assured they will come to pass. And there's a wonderful part here in Revelation 19 as really the end times are wrapping up. The second coming of Jesus will not be like the first coming of Jesus. He came in a manger. He is not coming to a manger this next time. He's not coming as a baby, meek and mild. He is coming as a warrior, prince, king, with an army behind him. And so John saw this in Revelation 19:11, and he says, I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he who sat on him was called faithful and true. So Exodus 34, God says, I keep faithfulness for thousands. In a day that's coming sooner than later, Jesus is coming and he's riding on a horse. What is his name? Faithful. He was faithful, he is faithful, and he shall be called faithful and true in righteousness, and he judges and makes war. So, you and I, we are, during this series, we were encouraged and God was helping us to see him as he actually is. Hebrews 11:11, by faith Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and she bore a child when she was past the age because she judged him faithful who had promised. Now, was God faithful who had promised Abraham and Sarah? He was faithful, but she considered, she judged him faithful. Now, this is the Holy Spirit's commentary on an Old Testament event. So it happened, and if you were... The book of Hebrews was written to Jews, so this was one of the first things you learned as a child was about Abraham and Sarah and the birth of the nation. And so this was not uncommon at all to them. But notice what the Holy Spirit comments about the cause of her pregnancy. Now, it wasn't a miraculous pregnancy. It was a normal husband and wife pregnancy. There was other things that the Holy Spirit could have mentioned. It certainly was God who brought it to pass. It was his faithfulness and his covenant-keeping word. But in this commentary, here's what the Holy Spirit says. She bore a child when she was past the age because why? Maybe she took some good nutrition. Or she got advice from her aunties about how to get pregnant. In this case, what did the Holy Spirit say? What does the Word of God say was the cause of her pregnancy? Because she judged him faithful. Doesn't say because he, Abraham. It doesn't even say he, God. It says she, because she. And friends, there's going to be so many things in life that the real difference maker of what's going to happen in your life is because you. Because you consider God in a certain way. Amen? Because he is faithful. All right, but it's a matter of what do you consider? Pastor Benjamin told us that this word in the Hebrew of God's faithfulness is emet. It's Hebrew's character, but that if we were going to try to understand it in English, emet, which means firmness, certainty, dependability. Aren't you glad God is dependable? Aren't you glad? All right? And so one commentary I was looking at, because of the dependability of his nature, therefore his words can be trusted. So his words are an extension of who he is. And so if God says something, then we can trust what he says. And if it has to do with a promise, if God says, I'm going to do something, then surely he will do that. All right. The first instance of human faith in the whole Bible was when Abraham, when God said it, and the Bible says, and God and Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Well, what did he believe God about? The words of God. What God said, Abraham believed it, and the Bible called that faith. All right. Numbers 23:19, wonderful scripture. God is not a man that he should lie. Isn't that sad? That to distinguish God from human beings is that God doesn't lie and men do lie. All right? Because this was written thousands and thousands of years ago, but sadly it's still true today. Do men lie? Yeah. Do women lie? The other kind of mankind. Do they lie? Yeah, they do. God is not a man that he should lie, nor the Son of Man that he should repent. So the entire Trinity is the same. Has he said, and will he not do? Has he spoken, and will he not make it good? All right, so notice there's this link between God's words, God's promises, and God's actions. All right? We use a phrase today called talk is cheap. What does that mean? It means words don't really make a difference unless you back them up. With what? With action. All right? So God says it, he promises, and he does it. They're the same when we deal with God. So his words can be trusted. Again, we see this both in the Old and the New Testament. 1 Thessalonians 5:24. What does God do? God does what he says he will do. 1 Thessalonians 5:24. He who calls you is faithful. He was, he is, and he will be. He is faithful. He will also do it. So God just doesn't say words to encourage us, to make us happy, to soothe our hearts. He says words so that we can have expectation about his actions. Hebrews 10:23, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. Why? For he who promised is faithful. So please note, in so many of these scriptures, there is this link between the faithfulness of God, his words, his promises, and what he does to back them up. All right. So, that was the introduction, because this sermon is not necessarily just about God, it's about you. It's about you. All right? The Bible has different ways for the way it describes us. Okay? So, in the Old Testament, Israel, one of the most common phrases of the Jewish nation or Jewish people and those who were grafted in, like Ruth and Rahab and different ones that weren't born a Jew, but they became a Jew, is they're referred to as the people of God. The people of God. So there is a belonging to God, all right? In the New Testament, many times Christians, we're referred to as disciples or followers of Jesus. A follower of Jesus, a disciple of Jesus. So there's this link to him, to God. The word Christian kind of stuck. It wasn't meant to be nice. The Romans, in trying to describe this new explosion of religion that came up, they said, oh, these are like little Christs, Christians. All right. Well, we kind of said, thank you. That's awesome. Yes, because one of the great things about the New Testament that we see is that God calls us to be like Jesus. And in fact, the 613 laws of the Torah in the Old Testament, those were ways that the people of God, Israel, could display who God is. God meant for the nations that surrounded Israel to be able to look into Israel and to see, oh, that's God. That's Yahweh. That's the nature of God on display. All right. And that was one of the reasons he was so firm with them about breaking those ways, because they were no longer displaying him well. Okay? So God is faithful. Amen? We could take, you know, three more weeks to see that God is faithful. So if God is faithful, and he is, then what should our life look like? Faithfulness. If God is faithful, and he is, and the Bible is it talks about his faithfulness and it shows us his faithfulness, then people should be able to look at our life and be able to say, faithful. Faithful. I can see the nature of God. And what is the things about faithfulness? What we say, we back up with action. In fact, our words and our actions are the same. All right? People can take our words to the bank. We can be reliable, trustworthy, based on what we say and what we do, and we are consistent and we are reliable. Why? Because we are the people of God. People refer to us sometimes in Zambia as, you know, those born-agains. Those born-agains, those types of Christians. Well, if you read the Bible, there are only born-again Christians, and then there are non-Christians. Okay. I think there probably are some born-again Christians that wouldn't use that term for themselves, but they've been recreated by God. They've accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. All right, so the seed that made us a Christian is from God. So we bear his DNA. People keep saying this. We were able to spend one kind of a night and a morning with our son Timothy. And people say, oh, he looks like you, Walker. He sounds like you. There's a reason. All right. Yes, it's my DNA. Exactly. It's my wife's eyebrows and her diligence and a whole lot of other great things from my wife he got as well. So God created us in Christ, and so we bear his character. All right, turn with me to 2 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter 1. So there's a passage here, and we get, there's a common verse and a phrase that we love. All God's promises are yes and amen. His promises are yes and amen. We have songs about that, and boy, it's great. It's true. Okay? But the context in which Paul was writing to the church in Corinth, that really wasn't his main point, that God's promises are yes and amen. It was about Paul's word to them and the relationship that he had with them. And the church in Corinth was somewhat unique in that we know that of at least three letters, we have two of them, multiple visits by Paul. He really stayed in close contact with this church. And there was some communication that we don't know about, but Paul says, I'm going to come and see you, and when I go here, I'm going to see. And so he's talking about this communication about him coming to them. 2 Corinthians 1:17, therefore, when I was planning this, planning to come to you and what we agreed about, did I do it lightly? Did I plan or think about it lightly? Or the things I plan, do I plan according to the flesh, that with me there should be yes, yes, and no, no? Meaning, we don't really know where you stand, Paul. It could be yes, yes. It could be no, no. Look at verse 18. This is really one of probably the key phrase of all of this morning. But as God is faithful, yes, we know God is faithful. We read the Bible. As God is faithful, our word to you was not yes and no. What does Paul use as the standard for Paul's faithfulness and Paul's promises. What is the standard he uses for himself? The faithfulness of God. The God who said, I maintain faithfulness. The God of the Bible, our Creator, the one who gave us breath and life, who brought us Jesus, that faithfulness of God, that standard of faithfulness is what Paul uses for Paul. As God is faithful, that's how I talk. That's how I say yes, and that's how I say no. That's what I consider when I make promises to you, fellow human beings, brothers and sisters in Christ. Okay, and then Paul kind of had this habit of sometimes when he would talk about things, he would then kind of elaborate on what he just said. I do that sometimes, drives my wife crazy. All right. It was not yes and no, for the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by us, me, Silvanus Timothy, was not yes and no, but in him was yes. For all the promises of God in him are yes. Just a side note, I wish Christians believed that. Now, are there things that we don't know about God and we don't know about our future? Yes, there's certainly some mystery and some unknown things. But if God made you a promise in his word, there's only one way he answers it. Yes. Yes. I just crack up at the way people say, well, God, you know, he has many different ways he answers prayers. Well, yeah, if you want to go to Australia and be a surfing champion, because that's not in the Bible. He didn't promise you that. So he could absolutely say no. But if he promised to protect you, to heal you, to provide for you, there's only one answer. It's yes. Amen. In him, amen. That's right. You said it right. Amen. Yes and amen to the glory of God. All right. ESV says it this way. As surely as God is faithful, that's how I talk, that's how I promise. All right. So it is God's standard of faithfulness that you and I are to make promises, not your grandmother, not your sweet uncle. It's God. Tell your neighbor, come up higher. All right. So God's word is yes and amen. He backs it up. He doesn't change it, nor does he alter it. Okay, so some of you are thinking, oh, wait a second. I'm not, but Pastor, I'm not God. Yeah, we know that. All right. But we have the possibility to show forth characteristics that are like God. Look at Galatians 5:22. Now, before this, it said the fruit, the works of the flesh, are all, it's just a pile of garbage. And you probably have had some of your past life in that pile of silliness and destruction. But the fruit of the Spirit, Greek word pneuma, spirit, and so you kind of have to figure out, is that the Holy Spirit? Is that our spirit? Because it's used interchangeably. All right. But this means that the Holy Spirit of God is working on the inside of us, and out of our recreated human spirit comes fruit. That means things that people can see. All right. There are times where you might maybe, if you didn't know that the mango tree was a mango tree from its leaves or its structure, you might just believe it because it has a sign that says mango tree. And you say, oh, mango tree, that's nice. Well, see, there's another way to know that it's a mango tree. You pick something off of its branches and you eat it and you go, oh, a mango tree. That's biblical, isn't it? You will know a tree by its fruit, not by its sign, not by its bumper sticker, not by its lapel pin, not what you put on your business card. Amen. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. Faithfulness. God's faithful. We are faithful. Just as God is faithful, here comes this fruit on the tree of our following Jesus life, faithfulness, along with gentleness, self-control. Against such, there is no law. Tell your neighbor it's possible. All right, now the Bible calls a number of people faithful. So how many of you would agree, if the Bible calls you faithful, then you, at least in that moment, in that time when it was described, you're faithful. Hebrews 3:5, and Moses was indeed faithful in all his house as a servant. Not faithful prophet, not faithful guy on the mountain with the finger of God and the lights and the flashes. No. Where did Moses start being faithful? As a servant. As a servant for a testimony of those things which would be spoken afterward. All right? See, here's the other thing is faithfulness is what you are all the time. It's not something that you turn off and on. And I'm faithful over here, and I'm not faithful. You just are. That's because it's your characteristic. Amen? Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians 14:17. For this reason I have sent Timothy to you, who is my beloved and faithful son in the Lord, who will remind you of my ways in Christ as I teach everywhere in every church. This is not the only time Paul referred to this characteristic of Timothy. Philippians, he said, I'm going to send Timothy to you because I can count on him to do what's in my heart to you, and that is to sincerely care for your state. So why could Paul rely on Timothy? He was in prison, but I can send Timothy to you because he was faithful. Faithful. He was reliable. Colossians 1:17, as you also learned from Epaphras, our fellow servant, who is a faithful minister of Christ on your behalf. The Holy Spirit didn't use this language casually, all right? It's because there was something in their life that people could say, yeah, faithful minister. Yeah, we know exactly what you're talking about, Paul, all right? The Holy Spirit knew that this was something about their life. And the guy in Colossians 4:7, a couple pages later, Tychicus, a beloved brother, faithful minister, and fellow servant in the Lord, will tell you all the news about me. Now, Paul actually mentioned him twice, being a faithful minister. Okay? That was Colossians 4:7. Then there was a guy named Onesimus. Read about him later in the book of Philemon. Colossians 4:9, with Onesimus, a faithful and beloved brother. So we don't see him called a minister, just a brother. A faithful brother, a faithful servant, a faithful minister who is one of you. They will make known to you all things which are happening here. All right. So, what does faithfulness look like in a human being? Well, it's very similar to what faithfulness is in God. All right, it's derived from that. And that is, what we say is what we do. We are reliable. All right, look at Proverbs 14, verse 5. Remember Numbers 23, God's not like a man that he should lie. Proverbs 14:5, a faithful witness does not lie, but a false witness utters lies. Now, it's almost sad that this has to be in the Bible. Don't you agree? Because that should be a given, but it's in the Bible because we need to know it. All right. So a faithful witness does not lie. So it is about what we say. It's about our words. In fact, we have a phrase that we use today about someone who is faithful, someone in business or in part of their life. We would call that person a man or a woman of their word. That person is someone That's a man of their word. Or you may, hopefully you'll tell your children that. Be a man of your word. All right? So meaning, what you say is what you're going to do. Now, here's an amazing concept. I really want you to hear this morning, is whatever comes out of your mouth is not determined by anyone else other than you. So if you don't want to be accountable for something that you say, don't say it. Don't commit to it. Huh? If you are going to stand right here, let me just stand there. If you're going to stand here on a blue carpet when you get married, and it's either going to be me or Pastor Benjamin or Pastor Gondwani or Pastor Wynn still helps us out. If you're going to stand there and look at us, and then you're going to look at this other person who's dressed all fancy on that day, huh? And you're going to say, forsaking all others, I keep myself only to you. How long? As long as we both shall live. Until death separates us. All right. So if you don't mean it, don't say it. And that's why we made the announcement and we're holding up to it. But if you want to get married at Miracle Life, you're going to have to be in a connection group. Because then we'll know what you're like. Because anybody can put on a fancy suit and lie to a pastor. It's happened to me multiple times. And here's the other deal, folks. When we made that announcement, we saw an upsurge of single people. All the single ladies. Yeah, they came running, all right. Well, let me tell you, if you're marrying a guy from Miracle Life, he has to be in a connection group consistently. Your membership is not going to cover for him. Yep. Some of you are thinking about going back to your former church, aren't you? Yeah. Oh, yeah. So, if you don't mean it, don't say it. Don't say it. All right? There are people that I've seen and even talked to, and you kind of hear different things, that they get just furious that someone is enforcing a contract that they themselves signed with an ink pen. Let me give you a great example. All right. Let's see. 9 years ago, something like that. 10 years ago. Wife and I got a house. Didn't have enough money to fix it up. So there's these places in town that will give you money. They're called a bank. Not a loan shark. A bank. All right. So we go to the bank, we give them the papers, blah, 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 blah. And there's something else the bank wants other than our signature, and it's called the title deed to our property. And so we gave it to them. They did not come in the night as ninjas and broke into our house and stole our title deed. We gave it to them, and the document that we signed... Well, I don't read that stuff. Well, you better read it, because the document that we signed says, if we don't pay you, keep the title deed. It's yours. Huh? Constantly. I've been living in Zambia for 15 years. Constantly. When someone gives a title deed to a bank and they don't pay, and the bank says, after lots of time, because they really don't want the title deed, because it's a pain in the... It's a pain for them to convert that into cash. They don't want your house, they want cash. All right? Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. All right. But that people will say this. Oh, did you hear about Uncle George? The bank grabbed his house. The bank confiscated his house. They did? Wow, then let's take him to the courts. Oh, well, how did they take it? Well, no, see, he signed a document and said, if I don't pay, you can have my house. Oh, so they didn't grab his house as much as they're enforcing what he agreed to in writing. Sadly, Uncle George wasn't faithful to what he said in writing. If you don't want to give your title deed away, then don't. I got it back, and I'm so happy to have it back. All right? Hallelujah! So be careful what comes out of your mouth. Be careful what comes out of your mouth. Know what you are agreeing to. Hallelujah. It's possible for every Christian, because we have the Holy Spirit of God, the fruit of the Spirit is working. We need to yield to this. All right, now, the Bible is really amazing, is that God, spoiler alert, okay, is he tells us the consequences of faithfulness. He tells us the consequences of unfaithfulness. All right, so it doesn't have to be a mystery to you. This will happen in your life without the devil's participation. It's not an attack of the devil. It's not the demons at the bank. Huh? Hello? Well, my spouse is upset with me. Well, why are you upset? Well, I was unfaithful. Yeah, that's why they're upset.
Well, I just don't understand why they're so upset.
Because of what you did. You didn't keep your word. You weren't faithful to your promise. Hello. Amen. All right. So, it gives us an ability to see what happens when we do this. Look at Proverbs 20. Most of these are going to come from Proverbs. And this is just really the Holy Spirit-inspired observations of a wise person that says, this is just how life works. I've watched it. This is how God set up the world to work. And you can either be smart and do these things, or you can be ignorant and think that the Bible doesn't apply to you, but you're going to wake up one day and discover it does apply to you. Proverbs 26. Most men will proclaim each his own goodness. It's a lot easier to do that today, to proclaim our own goodness. But who can find a faithful man? Who can find a faithful man? So, most men, and then the secret man. Where is this man? Who can find a faithful man? Now, if you're looking for a faithful man, bummer, because there aren't as many as there should be. All right. But here's the awesome thing. If you are a faithful man, if you are a faithful woman, in our world today, it was the same then, same today. If you are faithful, you have a competitive advantage that is mind-blowing. I don't care what business you are doing, whether you are cooking chicken and rice for weddings, or whether you are a driver or a farmer or a banker, or you make dresses or whatever it is that you do, if you are faithful, you will set yourself above, I don't know, probably 95% of the competition. If you make dresses and you say Thursday at 17 hours, that means Thursday at 17 hours, your dress is ready, ma'am. It's ready. It's ready. Not my phone is off. Not I have a funeral. Not I don't know what happened to your money. Not why are you shouting at me? Here's the answer to the question of why I'm shouting at you. Because you said Thursday at 17 hours. And I'm raising my voice because I don't think you remember. Imagine if you made dresses and you kept your word 1,000 times in a row. Oh my goodness. 5 countries would come and find you. And here's the deal. It's not that hard because you're the one who said, when is it going to be ready? Thursday at 17. That means Thursday at 17. That means if there was a funeral, that means if the chicken cut the Zesco line, that means whatever it has to be done, I will keep my word at all costs. Tune in next week. You're going to love it. We're going to talk about this 2 weeks because one of the greatest keys to you living in faithfulness is you experiencing more pain. The Bible says we swear to our own hurt. That means if you're going to be a faithful man, it will hurt. I don't like to be hurt. Me neither. But it's part of the faithfulness process. Hallelujah. Who can find a faithful electrician? Who can find a faithful plumber? Who can find a faithful maid? Huh? Who can find a faithful husband? Come to Miracle Life! There are thousands of them! Because we have the DNA of our Father. We follow Jesus Christ. And the faithfulness of God exudes in our finances. It exudes in our work. It exudes in our documents. It exudes in everything that we do and everything that we touch. Come to Miracle Life and find faithful men, faithful women. The God who says, I maintain faithfulness. These are the people who maintain faithfulness. Even when it costs us. Even when it hurts us. Amen. If you stay up to 4 o'clock in the morning keeping your word, you won't die. Oh, Pastor, I need my sleep. Yeah, Proverbs talks about you too. Huh? A little sleep, a little folding of the hands to rest, and so poverty will come upon you like a bandit. Well, I rebuke the spirit of poverty. There's no such thing. Jesus cast all kinds of demons out. I never saw him cast out a demon of poverty. There's all kinds of names of demons. That's not one of the names. Hello? Faithful. Faithful. Faithful in what we do. Faithful in what we say. Hallelujah. Amen. Proverbs 31 says about a virtuous woman, the heart of her husband safely trusts her. Safely trusts her. Amen. I think I told you this, but it's been happening in the last few years. I guess Abraham had this problem too. But when my wife is flying on airplanes, sometimes old men flirt with her and hit on her. Yeah. One guy in Oklahoma, he said, I own a hotel. Come over to my hotel. You know? Whatever. Crazy. Okay. I'm going to see her tomorrow. She's flying back. But you know what? When I go to sleep tonight, and when I went to sleep Thursday night and Friday night, I didn't go to sleep. Oh, God. I plead the blood of Jesus. Oh, those men on the airplane. Oh, God. Fire, 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 fire. Those men coming against my boyfriend, against my husband, against my wife. Oh, break up. No. The heart of this husband safely trusts her. Yep. So I watch football, eat a meat pie, and go to sleep. Because my heart safely trusts in her. Not in Jesus, in her. In her. Faithfulness among individuals, it's the influence of God, but it's between us, folks. Amen. Proverbs 25:13. Trustworthy messengers refresh like snow in summer. They revive the spirit of their employer. Let me read the Zambian Standard Version of that. trustworthy messengers refresh like a hard rain on a Saturday afternoon when it's been hot all week. Did it rain at your house yesterday? Ooh, in my house, the heavens opened up. So what did I do? I just sat outside under the shade and just let that cool air. Oh, hallelujah. What a refreshing it was. Well, if you're faithful, you are a refreshment to your employer.
Oh, but say, Pastor, that's not in my contract. It's not in my contract to be a refreshment. It's in the Word of God.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You're thinking, Pastor, why didn't you stay with your wife and look after your father-in-law? Yeah. See, here's the thing. The Bible says I got to keep a watch over your soul. I got to watch. Amen. And I'm preaching to myself. I'm preaching to myself. Proverbs 25:19. All right, so man, there's some benefits, man. It gives you a competitive advantage. You're not like other people. It's refreshing. But then there's some things that happen on the other side of it. Proverbs 25:19, confidence in an unfaithful man in time of trouble is like a bad tooth and a foot out of joint. Huh. Okay, there's two things that happen with a bad tooth and a foot out of joint. Two things that happen. One, it's painful. It's just painful. So don't cause other people to have pain. All right? Don't be a source of pain to somebody else. But here's the other thing. When your foot is out of joint and you have a bad tooth, here's the other thing we do. We stop using it. We stop relying on that foot. We stop chewing on that side of the mouth, right? Okay? So what's going to happen in our unfaithfulness, you're not going to get picked. You're not going to get picked. Amen. Well, this is, Pastor, you don't know. 2019 is my year of promotion. 2019 will only be year of promotion if you live that way in 2016, 17, and 18. God is not going to blind your HR officer to your unfaithfulness. Hello? Well, I have the favor of Joseph. Well, then have the excellence of Joseph. Everywhere Joseph went, he just got the job done. Bam, bam, bam. All the time, just got the job done. In fact, then the Pharaoh said, hey, I'll just make you in charge of the whole thing. Yeah. Potiphar said, everything except for what I eat. You know everything. I only know what I eat. Joseph knows everything else. Promotion. More responsibility. See, here's the other thing. More responsibility is hard. It's tougher. Amen. Hallelujah. Unfaithfulness leads to a hard life. Faithfulness leads to the blessings of God. Proverbs 13:15. Good understanding gains favor, but the way of the unfaithful is hard. Please note that Satan is not in that verse. How did your life become hard? Because of unfaithfulness. Amen. So, does the devil attack? Yes, he does. Is he cruel? Is he a destroyer? Absolutely. All right? But we have to recognize that there may be a portion, a certain percentage of what we consider the hard life that is not an attack. It's a fruit of unfaithfulness. Proverbs 2:22. But the wicked will be cut off from the earth, and the unfaithful will be uprooted from it. Uprooted, meaning should be planted, should be fruitful, but not so much anymore. Proverbs 11:13, the integrity of the upright will guide them, but the perversity of the unfaithful will destroy them. Now, look at that verse. Destroy is one of the names of the devil, the destroyer. Isn't that sad? That we can participate in his kingdom's activity by choosing to be unfaithful. Destruction. Now, let's get to the good news. Amen? Proverbs 28:20. A faithful man will abound with blessings. Please note it doesn't say tomorrow. It doesn't even say next year. All right? Some blessings, hopefully you've been here long enough, some blessings we don't even have in this lifetime. There are rewards that we have in heaven. Faithful man will abound with blessings, but he who hastens to be rich will not go unpunished. A faithful man will abound with blessings. Now, here's the problem. Unfaithfulness is sometimes hard to self-detect. Okay? So, if you really want to kind of get serious, begin to do with the help of the Holy Spirit, maybe the help of a good Christian friend or a Christian spouse, somebody good that loves you, they're on your side. But do call for an internal audit meeting. We're going to uncover the rocks. We're going to do this. Huh? You know, the church is building right now. You know that. And we're having a big time. It's going to be awesome when we're done. We were chatting, and there's lots and lots of different people that are involved in different things doing in the church, and we're so thankful for that. But we have a chat with somebody and said, well, I hope this could change or this whatever. And they say, well, all blanks are the same, blanks. So you don't know if that means engineer, architects, or whoever, you know. Well, wait a second. Even though it might be common, all right, some of you actually, when you went to premarital counseling, someone told you, not from this church, but somebody told you, all men cheat. They actually told you that. No, they don't. I'm not going to single anybody out here, but there's tons and tons of men in this room. Amen. And it's not because our wife cooks good food for us. See, faithfulness has nothing to do with someone else. It's your nature. There's a verse we'll see next week. It says, when we are unfaithful, God remains faithful. He did an interesting deal in the Old Testament. He had Hosea marry a prostitute to say, now you know how I feel. Because my people have just been running after false gods for hundreds of years. Okay? We're faithful because of who God made us. Amen. Amen. So, how can we apply this? Well, first of all, man, I would just say let's come up. Let's come up to God's standard. And I think what's so easy to do right now is, oh, pastor, but you don't understand. This person was going to give me money and that one and that's why. You know what? I know. We get it, right? Huh? But are you faithful to what you said you would do in every area of your life? And if you make a firm soul commitment, not to me, not even to another person, but to the God who is faithful. I've been singing this song all week long. We sang it a couple weeks ago here. The Bible, there's a song that says, all my life, God, you have been faithful. All my life, you've been faithful. All right? I want your spouse to be able to say that to you. All my life, you have been faithful. May your bank say that to you. May your business partner, may your clients and colleagues, may your fellow professors, may people where you serve to say, all this project, you've been faithful. You've been faithful. You've been faithful. Now, some of you might be thinking, pastor, did my wife call you? No. Did you get an email? No. All right. This is just God wanting to help us. All right. So please don't discount this. Please don't discount this. Please, please don't leave here and say, ooh, Pastor Walker was lit today. No, you get lit. And burn up all the unfaithfulness in your life. That's when we'll say fire, fire. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's pray. Let's pray. If you're here with your spouse, if you're with somebody that you married to, take them by the hand right now. Father, Lord, I know in my life, God, Lord, because of your faithfulness, because of your goodness, you've helped me. But God, oh, Lord, there's other areas. I need to step up, God. If I said it, I'll do it. That people can literally, without any other deal, know that it's going to happen because of what I said. God, I believe that so, so many of us, Lord, in this room, we want our life to bear fruit, God. We want our life to be a sweet-smelling aroma that's like you, God. But Father, oh Father, we live in a world, God, every time we turn on the TV or read the newspaper, God, it's just the headlines scream of unfaithfulness. Lord, may it not be mentioned among us. May it not be mentioned among us. God, help us. Lord, for where we've missed it, we confess. We thank you that the blood of Jesus forgives and cleanses from all unrighteousness. God, there's a fresh start, but God, help us with your grace and your ability and working in us, God, to help us to be men and women of our word, just like our Father God. Just like our Father God. Lord, I pray for businessmen and businesswomen. God, I thank you for people here, Lord, they're making significant decisions that affect many, God. Faithful, 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 faithful. May it be said of us, we're faithful. God, I pray for every husband, every wife, God. Lord, of the strange men and the strange women and those that are calling on the street and the different sources, God, that would keep us from that covenant promise we made. God, give us grace right now. Give us grace right now for the rest of our life, for the rest of our marriage. Faithfully, we will fulfill these vows. In Jesus' name. With every head bowed, every eye closed. God is faithful. And the Bible says in Romans 10, that if you will believe in your heart that Jesus is the Son of God, that you need a Savior, and if you will confess with your mouth that He is risen from the dead, here's what the Bible says, you shall be saved. God said that to you. I'm just saying what He said. If you're here today and you don't have a relationship with God, you can be saved. See, because God didn't say if you join a church, you shall be saved. Or if you get baptized as a baby, you'll be saved. He doesn't say that. Believe in your heart, you confess with your mouth, and you say, Pastor, I've not done that. You can right now today. If you're far from God, if you're a Christian, but your heart is cold and your life is a mess, Jesus portrayed a father who allowed his son to come home. And he found a father who restored and forgave and brought him back to the place he should have been in. So God says, come home. Come home. There's forgiveness. There's restoration for you. For you. How can I say that? Because God said it. Because God said it. If you're here in this place and you say, Pastor, that's me. I'm not saved. I'm not born again, but I would like to be. I'm far from God and I know I need to come home to a father. A father's care. A father's restoration. We're going to pray together. We're going to do what God said. We're going to confess. We're going to believe in our heart. We're going to confess with our mouth. I want to pray with you. On the count of three, you ready to say yes to Jesus Christ? Ready? One, two, three. Just lift up your hand all over this auditorium. Lift it up. Just wave it at me so I can see it. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you, sir. God bless you. God bless you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. You lifted up your hand. or now you're real, God's dealing with my heart. Don't resist God. Just go ahead and give him full way into your life. Can we stand to our feet as we're going to pray with these? You lifted up your hand, or now you're thinking, I should have. Just come and meet me up front. We're going to pray together. God is going to be faithful to his word. He's going to save and forgive you. He's going to make you a new creation in Christ. Can we give these folks a hand clap as they're coming? Amen. From over here, right here. Hallelujah. The faithful God, faithful to forgive, faithful to cleanse. Hallelujah. Now, those of you lift up your hand, you're thinking, oh, what are people going to say? We are going to be jumping and dancing, saying high five. It's so awesome. Don't be afraid of coming up. Let's pray together. Amen. It's not magical up here, but it's good. It's good to make a public declaration of our faith. All right, anybody? I hate for you to say yes to Jesus and not follow through on it, especially that we just had this sermon, but love you very, very much. Love you very, very much. All right. Now, there's something else we want to do before we pray and before we go. Jesus said to his disciples, they had a really, really big job to do. And he wanted them to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. But he said, wait in Jerusalem for the Holy Spirit to come upon you and you'll be my witnesses. That's in Acts chapter 1. And so those Jewish guys knew what that language meant. The Holy Spirit is going to come upon us, all right? In the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit would come upon prophets and priests and kings and people like Samson. They do amazing, spectacular, miraculous things because of the enablement, power of the Holy Spirit upon them, all right? The Bible is very clear that when we are born again, the Holy Spirit comes and he lives and he resides on the inside of us and we become the temple of God. But in the book of Acts and other places, it talks about the Holy Spirit coming upon us for works of service. That's called the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Paul said, talked to a church kind of like this one. He said, I would that you all speak in tongues. It's not a selective gift for a few. All right. Moses one time I wish all of these people could be anointed. Well, we can be. Joel said, and Peter recognized it, that in these last days, my spirit will come upon all flesh. All flesh. And you say, well, I grew up Catholic. Well, the Holy Spirit wants to come on Catholic flesh, Anglican flesh, Pentecostal flesh, any kind of flesh. He wants to come upon you to empower you to be a greater blessing to the world, to work through your life in supernatural ways. Amen. So, if you're a born-again Christian, but you say, I've never received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, what we see in the book of Acts, and I would like to receive that New Testament experience for myself, raise up your hand, real, real high. Raise up your hand. Hallelujah. Wonderful. Just come. He says, your sons and your daughters, your handmaids, everybody, men, women, young and old, just come up. Amen, amen, amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Let me just say this. There are some traditions that would say, well, you know, the Holy Spirit will come upon me, I'll receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit when I've been holy enough or sanctified enough, or kind of at God's sovereign timetable. Well, in Acts chapter 10, a bunch of Gentiles, these people were worshiping idols the day before the sermon. And they heard Peter speak. And while they heard Peter speak, the Holy Spirit came upon them and they spake in tongues. Right there. There was no 10 days of sanctification or fasting. All right. And so there may be some of you here to say, you know, Pastor, I don't really think I'm worthy. All right. Well, God makes you worthy. He sanctifies you. He cleanses you. All right? And you say, well, yeah, I prayed for that 20 years ago. Well, we've got some folks here, man, they'll just show you right in the Bible, help you see it for yourself, and you will receive today. So I just felt that in my heart. Maybe some of you here, you're thinking, nah, I've kind of given up on that with God because I've been frustrated. It never really happened for me. Is anybody, I'm kind of talking about you, just wave your hand. God loves you so much, he just stopped the whole service for you. Anybody just like that? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All right. So my brother, we're going to go. Some folks are going to show you some wonderful things in the Bible, pray with you, and you're going to receive this great, incredible gift from on high. All right. Where are we headed? This way? This way. This way. All right. Thank you so much.